This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Monday. I know that's like doesn't really work as a saying, because like, when is Monday happy? But let's appreciate it, because the weeks fly by. It's WrestleMania week, by the way, so I want to soak in every little bit. And Anthony, just so you know, I have decided, based on everything that's going on, I'm going to the Hall of Fame this year. I got to see if Dominic Mysterio attacks Rey Mysterio at his Hall of Fame induction.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
I would expect him to do something, wouldn't you? I would expect something. So there's a lot going on this week and a lot going on in sports. Of course, we're talking about I'm going to play you audio in a minute of Joe Douglas and what he had to say about everything Aaron Rodgers. But for now, I bring on my good friend and the host of this program, Michael Kay.
What's up, guys?
Hey!
How about the little drama with Lamar Jackson now? Do you think the Jets use that as some leverage against the Packers or what?
Well, we've been talking about, Don and I have been discussing that thus far. Like, does it change anything? Isn't it basic? I mean, listen, you have a very wise sports mind, Michael. Does it change anything, or isn't it what we already knew?
Well, I think it changes something that's out in the open that he wants to be traded. You know, before it was a situation where you could go after him, make him an offer, make him a big offer, give up the two first-round draft picks, and the Ravens might still say no. But now he has articulated to them that he definitely wants to be out of there. So I think it does add a level of intrigue, I would think. But who knows? I just don't think the Jets are interested in that. I think they're locked in on Aaron Rodgers. That's who they want. That's who they intend to get. I don't know if they could use this as leverage against the Packers. Listen, if we don't get this deal done, we're going to head to Baltimore and try to get Lamar Jackson. But it's strange. As great as Jackson is, doesn't seem to be that much interest in him.
No, that's why there's speculation about collusion. But I just think it's because of the fact that he's been injured lately. He wants all of his money guaranteed. You know, in this story, Michael, I'm sure you read it. Mm-hmm. You know, Schefter and Mortensen had reported that the offer he turned down from Baltimore included $133 million guaranteed at signing, $175 million guaranteed for injury, and $200 million in total guarantees if he's on the roster on the fifth day of the 2026 league year. He turned that down. He wants all guaranteed money. He wants a Watson deal.
And it's so strange that this is the hill that he's willing to die on, because there's only one player that got it.
Right.
That's Watson. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have a guaranteed deal. And you could say, well, NFL players, well, that's the one thing that they don't get. Well, they don't get it because of the hard cap. You can't give it
right
to them.
And
Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, was desperate. Look at the guy he went out and got and gave him guaranteed money.
Right.
And I think that every NFL owner probably hates his guts.
And I don't know what he has a leg to stand on. The Ravens are marching forward as if he's going to be their quarterback in 2023, which he's obligated to be because he was franchise tagged. It doesn't behoove him to sit out, Michael, because he not only would he lose the year, it's not like he'd gain anything from it. He'd still have the franchise tag on him. He's got to go out there and do well and hopefully change the narrative. Stay healthy, play 17 games, win the division, make a deep playoff run, and you know, hold the Ravens' feet to the fire, at least get other teams interested. I don't know what he does, Michael. And as far as the Jets' interest, I don't really think it changes much. Because why would they make a deal with the Ravens and still have to negotiate a deal? At least if they gave the two first-round picks, there's the agreement that you are going to give him the deal.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to give up less than two first-round picks, but it's still draft capital, and then have to negotiate a deal with a guy?
I also think, and listen, I'm not, you know, advocating for him to give up however much percentage of his money. But I don't think he's helped by the fact that he's repping himself. No. I just
agree.
Don't. I just think he'd be in a lot better shape if he had somebody else having that dialogue with the front office of the Ravens rather than you're negotiating with Lamar Jackson.
Listen, if his mom's anything like our moms, 100% supportive. Right? And when I drive home and I call my mom, I won every argument. I was the better guy on the show. I should demand more money.
She's right on all facts.
You know, but you don't need that necessarily to be your agent. Sometimes you need your agent to say, listen, wake up. Nobody's trading for you. Nobody's going to give you this guaranteed money. We're on a really good team, a good organization, well-coached organization. You've been here your entire career. You won an MVP here. You've gone to the playoffs here. Let's make this work. But his mom's not going to say that. His mom's going to agree with everything. You should get everything. You should get all the money. If that kid Watson in Cleveland got it, you should be able to get it here. That's not the, hearing rainbows and unicorns all the time is not necessarily reality.
And they can't even like negotiate with his mom. The NBA front, NFL front offices can only negotiate it with an accredited agent. Or the person himself. I don't think even the mom could actually have dialogue with them. But, you know, we'll talk about the Jets and whether or not they'll use this as leverage. Here's Joe Douglas speaking today to the assembled media about the Lamar Jackson situation, whether or not the Jets are interested.
First of all, Lamar Jackson's a fantastic player. But, you know, where we stand is, you know, it would be disingenuous in operating, negotiating in bad faith if we went down that path. So right now we have our plan, we have our process, and we're sticking to that.
Wow. All right, so then the question is, any update on the Rodgers negotiations?
You know, there's been some productive conversations, and, you know, obviously we're not where we need to be yet, and you know, but I feel like we're in a good place.
Can you explain this to me, because I'm ignorant.
No, you're not.
What would be negotiating in bad faith?
Well, because they want Aaron Rodgers.
All right, but this is leverage. Hey, you're trying to make a deal. Hey, guys, I could walk. I could go make a deal with Baltimore. Let's get something done. Did they tell the Packers that this is going to get done, that we won't talk to anybody else? Because then that would be a violation of a contract.
They probably made that promise to Rodgers. You're the guy. We want you.
All right, but you can make all the promises to Rodgers, it still has to be done with the Packers. Negotiating in good faith, the way I determine it, is that I'm going to deal with you 100% honestly. And if I'm trying to gain leverage, am I violating some sort of a trust to say, hey, listen, guys, if your heart's set on the 13th overall pick, we'll take our business elsewhere. That's negotiating in bad faith? What, when I go in to buy a car, I have to buy the car? Or I could walk and buy another car. Now, it may not be realistic for me to go buy another car because maybe it's a Rolls-Royce dealership that's across the street. But I still have the right to walk out of the room. Like, so I'm not getting the whole negotiating in good faith unless something was told to the Packers, we are going to get this done. But why would you do that? You take all your leverage away.
Yeah, by saying we're not going to do it, they have no leverage right now.
That is weird.
And, you know, we had Andrew Brandt on last week, and you know he even retweeted today. Said he laughed and said, "Yeah, the Jets have leverage. Said they really don't because they're all in. So the Packers could say you're waiting till the beginning of the season. He's going to miss every single function, every single preseason event. He's just going to miss it all because you're not going to give us that 13th pick. At least if the Jets wait past the draft." Then they don't have to worry about giving the 13th pick, and I'm sure that is probably what they're doing.
But wouldn't that be in Joe Douglas's mind, negotiating in bad faith?
Unless he's told them you're not getting this pick, which is what the holdup is.
And if that's the holdup, it goes away. Play the music, Anthony. Play the draft music. Here we go. Jets make their selection on April 27th. Guess what? It's gone. Poof. Unless you want to trade the player I just picked.
You know what it's like? I'm going to give you a good Michael Kay-like example. I think you'll appreciate this. It's like you're a guy and you really want to go out with this girl. And she's like awesome and like, wow, what amazing it would be. And you have you have a couple of other really great options. But before you even know if she's fully interested, you just commit 100%. I want to be in a relationship with you. Well, why would you do that? You got other you're making yourself seem desperate. Well, you don't have to.
I love it.
It
was along the Michael Kay line.
I think you'd probably be that guy. I definitely would. I'd be ready to propose, even though I've two other great girls right there.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense, Michael, you're right, is that do they feel like they would be bargaining in bad faith for Rodgers because they're committed to him. But even Rodgers would have to understand, I still have to make a deal with a third party. And why would I give up my leverage? But that would be in bad faith, Michael, if the Jets just said, I'm sorry, too rich for my blood. We're gonna go see what's going on with the Ravens. Or just, you know, all of a sudden they became insane and said, I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill. Whatever. I don't understand how changing their mind and walking off the lot is negotiating in bad faith. You know, am I missing something?
One more thing about the Lamar situation. So many people I've read are saying, well, it's either collusion or racism. And listen, I'm the first guy to destroy NFL owners. I think they do not operate in the most beautiful way. But I don't think it's either of them. I just don't think it's either of them. But last time I checked, Deshaun Watson is not white, and he got this amazing contract. So it's not racism. And in terms of collusion, no other owner wants to give a guaranteed deal. The guy's turned down a lot of guaranteed money from the Ravens, and every owner's going, I don't think I'm going to do that. So how is it collusion?
Because, Michael, I'll use one of your quotes. There's always one dumb owner. And when none of the owners are dumb, collusion's on the table.
But not in this case, Don, where he's asking for something that's irrational.
No, I agree. But it's the quarterback. It's a former MVP. I agree with you, Michael. I wouldn't do it. I would have a hard time doing it. But how desperate these teams are for quarterbacks, as desperate as the Jets are for a quarterback, that they're actually in negotiations with the Packers to make a trade for a 39-year-old.
Well, let's ask a question then. Do we know if other teams have, in fact, inquired about Watson?
The word is no one has.
None. Complete radio silence.
That is weird. You'd think they'd at least see. But if the Ravens have made it absolutely... No, it's not even the Ravens anymore. Now it's just the fact that he has to be two picks.
It's the Chargers.
Right? He's a Charger now?
But what it comes down to, is it feasible in your mind, Peter, that there could be 31 teams in the National Football League? Well, I guess 30 because Cleveland just did it, that would not give a guaranteed contract to Lamar Jackson.
I think it's feasible. Really do.
I think it's feasible too, Michael. But
I think it's good business to give a guaranteed contract.
I agree with you. But again, I go back to that. I circle back. In all these sports, all of them, there always ends up being one dumb owner. Now, was that one dumb owner Cleveland? But there's 31 other teams. No one else. I think for each individual, it makes sense. But as a collective, you say it makes sense. I guess it makes sense to me, but I'm also willing to say collusion could be on the table, especially with these owners. They're very tight, Michael.
Well, no, anything
very few renegades, okay?
None, you got of us couple. Trust the NFL owners, that's for sure.
Right, so when you don't trust them, Peter, and you go by the old adage, one dumb owner, and in this case there are none, you're telling me that collusion can't be on the table? Now, whether you want to believe it or not, but can you at least give me that it should be in the conversation?
No, you know why I don't think it is? Because I think it's legitimately something that every owner with a hard cap abhors. They can't picture themselves doing it because you're going to bury your team if the guy ever gets hurt. I just don't think this is collusion. And I certainly don't think it's racism.
But yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that.
There's such a hit. Sorry, Don, just real quick. There is just such a long time thing with the NFL's relationship with black quarterbacks. There's a reason people feel that way. This has gone on for so long that I think sometimes it can just be emotions that people have built in. You see something happening with a black quarterback who's an MVP.
All right, so this would be the racism angle.
Okay, I like this.
That more owners would be willing to do it if Watson wasn't the one that got the contract. Like, so where is the racism? Are they mad that Watson got it and they don't want anybody else to get it? Or is it they don't want Jackson to get it? Or have two black quarterbacks have guaranteed money? Like, wow. What is the motivation? But like, what's...
First of all, I believe that within 10 years, the majority of quarterbacks are going to be black.
It should be, I would think, even less than that.
Maybe even less. You're right. Maybe even less. So I just don't think you can operate in that way and field the team.
I never want to shut down anything.
That's all.
All right. But it just seems odd to me. Just odd. Because I fundamentally agree with you, Michael, because I don't think it makes a lot of sense to give guaranteed money to Lamar Jackson. But boy, it didn't take long for Cleveland to do it with a guy that had how many allegations against them 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, but again, I've said this before. There's a difference for these people. And Michael, I think you'll feel me on this. It's probably not about racism or collusion, but of course they care more about a quarterback's health than they care about
said,
their
Peter,
personality
that his
and
health,
what they do off the field.
That his injury proneness, if that's a word, is a tad overrated.
It is a tad overrated. People act like he misses 7 games a year. It's not true. And this year, I truly question. I think this is part of the problem he has in Baltimore. I truly question whether he had to miss all those games at the end. No. I think he might have hurt his own value by missing all those
Great
games
point.
Late in the season when he probably could have played.
But all collusion has to be. Everybody thinks it's got to be. All these conspiracy theories and all that, they think that there's a meeting specifically about it. Sometimes it goes unsaid. Sometimes it's just Roger Goodell aloud going, guys, guaranteed money in this sport? Are you crazy? What are you thinking?
I'll tell you what, though. I think owners learn from baseball. When you get zapped with collusion, you're going to cost yourself hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not worth it.
I understand. But can they get caught?
If it happened, they can get caught. I just don't.
As long as there's no paper trail.
Perfectly. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a coordinated thing.
Right.
Like, they've already all talked about their distaste for the contract given to Deshaun Watson.
You know, I keep going back to JFK. When
what, the airport or the ex-president?
No, the movie.
Oh.
When Mr.
You know when Don says JFK, Michael.
Come on.
He's referring to the movie.
When Mr. X, the Donald Sutherland character, says, no one says he must die. Like, no one is going to have, there's no email, there's no paper trail. It's those 32 guys getting in a room and looking at each other. And Roger Goodell nodding saying, the Watson contract, it's the last one. It's not happening again.
Or he could just say the Watson contract is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's hard to
That's
have
it.
A contract like that with
wink,
a hard cap.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I mean, there's so many ways, Michael, to get around it. And they are so closed off to the rest of the world on how they do business and how they do their things. They only got in trouble with the whole with Raider thing with because of emails.
Right.
You know, so if there's no email, there's no paper trail, there's no recording of it, how can they honestly get in trouble, Michael? And none of them ever speak out of school against each other because they all want to be part of the club.
But let me ask you a question. If this conversation took place and Peter's favorite guy, Daniel Snyder, is one of the other 31 owners, and he's being forced
Not my
to sell
favorite
his
guy.
Team,
yep.
why wouldn't he open his mouth? By the way, as I'm out my door here, I just want you to know they're all colluding against Lamar Jackson.
All right. Do you have any proof?
Well, he might.
Because you might. Well, I don't
he
know.
He might.
If it's the way we just talked about it, where's the proof? Do you have an audio of Goodell saying this? Is
Could
there an email?
I mean, if Goodell's saying that and Daniel Snyder being the survivor that he is, don't you think he might have pressed record on his iPhone in his breast pocket? I don't know. Just wondering out loud.
Well, maybe that's why his team hasn't been sold yet.
Very quickly, because we want to get your phone calls as well, Knicks preview brought to you by Jack Pocket.
Familiar.
It's already been done, but I want to give you my take on the Knicks have to win this game tonight.
Oh, my God, yes.
Now, the Nets gave them a little bit of a reprieve by beating the heck out of the Heat.
How about that? They beat.
Go figure that, guys.
They beat the Heat and lose to the Magic.
It's unbelievable. I mean, these guys are so ingrained of back-to-back how arduous it is. They didn't even show up yesterday except for Bridges. You know, they were 3 for 28 from three-point land other than Bridges.
Didn't when he went 0 for 11?
It's unbelievable. 2 games in a row just slays these guys. Anyway.
It's got to be a mental thing, right?
Yes, because now it's implanted in their head. You can't do it. I mean, load management. Anyway, you got to beat the Rockets tonight. Rockets are awful. Second worst record in the NBA. Got to beat them. Yeah. Got to beat them. And one other thing. We destroyed Julius Randle for getting that tech the other day. And you know who else deserves to be destroyed? Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. He gets a T on a team that's hanging in the balance of even the play-in, and now he can't play the next game because it was his 16th T. That guy can't control himself. He is way worse than Julius Randle. Way worse.
But he's also way better, which probably helps.
Yeah, but usually a guy like that is going to be given some leash in terms of teeing him up all the time.
Yeah.
They don't even give this guy – I mean, he must just go out of his mind.
Well,
and then the NBA actually reviewed the play that he was arguing about, and they said the correct call was made. 16 techs, and now he's going to miss again. By the way, he and Kyrie seem to be really getting along.
I was going to say, he got plenty of support from him.
Kyrie said, this is a 24-7 job. Well, it wasn't for you with the Nets. Wasn't quite 24-7.
Yeah, so is everyone, because his statement was mixed, right, about Doncic? Like he was pretending to be supportive, but he wasn't.
It was a typical Kyrie droning on.
Anyone know yet what the guy said that got him kicked out of the building yet? Because Kyrie also got a dude kicked out of the building.
Yeah, I saw that. He said apologize, and I guess the guy didn't.
First
he said say it to my face, and then he said apologize.
I'm telling you this right now, because this is now happening more and more. There needs to be a really clear line, in my opinion, about kicking fans out of a game. If it's not straight up offensive, like either legitimately hateful or obscene and offending the people around them.
Right.
You know, if it's racial hatred, cultural, or the fans around them are like, oh my God. Short of that, you should not be able to kick fans out because a player wants them to.
Just because he's heckling somebody. No way. You're right. If it's something racial of that sort,
but
absolutely.
if he was just saying, hey, Kyrie, the world is round. You can say that all day. That makes no sense. You guys ready for a little drop madness?
No, 1 second. I have to tell you one thing. Shams Charania reported the NBA has rescinded Doncic's 16th technical. He's eligible to play tonight against the Pacers.
No, what was the logic behind that?
I don't know.
That's...
Why don't you tell us about Drop Madness?
I mean, I know they can rescind, but that is weird. All right, yeah, let's get into Drop Madness, guys. By the way, I hope we got to find the flub from Don earlier. It was potentially
beautiful.
You
made the trade request.
One more time.
You made the trade request.
Wow.
It's tough. I love trade requests. All right, guys, we start in the flub region, the 3 seed in
action. Adolis Garcia with a solo shot. Blue Jays, Rangers, I should say, up 5-3.
4-3.
No, it was a two-run. Oh, it's 4-3 now?
They were down 3-2.
They were down 3.
God, that's cumbersome.
It's truly Ravens a Jays. I
mean, oh, yeah, it's in that line of questioning.
Well, it will take on the 11 seed.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you what, Don.
It's a mom drop.
I think that's a primetime matchup right there. That's a good matchup. The funny region, the 3 seed.
Oh, these guys have jobs and I don't. Ah, they're wrong.
Up against the 6 seed.
Don LaGreca's House of Hot Dogs. 1-800-EAT-ME.
We go to the troubling region where the 3 seed is in action.
I keep touching it. I don't know why I'm getting excited.
Up against the 11 seed.
Easy organizations change directions.
Oh, no.
I really don't want that to advance.
Michael, why do I love that one so much?
Please don't let that advance.
Wonderful one.
Already up to a lead, by the way, Don. I'm sorry. We'll see.
No.
The Nether region. Oh, I love this 3 seed.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo.
Up against the big, powerful 6 seed.
You're unbelievable.
Aaron Boone, you can go vote right now. Polls are open. TMKS ESPN on Twitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
13th pick has produced as many Pro Bowl players, 8, as the number one pick, according to data from Pro Football Reference. No other slot in the first round has that many. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients transform their companies, build capital, innovate processes, and mitigate risks. Make Eisner Amper part of your solution. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/solution. Oh, let's go to the phones. How about that? Let's do it. Let's go to Eddie in Brooklyn. Eddie.
Hey, how are you, gents? And good afternoon to the K-Show conglomerate.
Thank you, friend.
just heading home in a nice Bell Parkway commute and traffic. Just had a quick thought on the comments by Joe Douglas about negotiating in bad faith. I know, Don, you were, questioning how that's bad faith with the Packers, but I think he means the opposite. I think he means that would be negotiating in bad faith with the Ravens, in the sense that they really have no intention of making that trade, and it would be done simply to try to leverage the Green Bay deal. So I think that's probably what he meant.
Yeah. I think you're probably right, but you also do have to wonder if they're not going to exercise any kind of other option other than Zach Wilson. Then the Packers could hold out for that first-round pick. I'm sorry, they could. Because the Jets are saying, this is it. This is all we want. We're not moving off of this. It's Aaron Rodgers or what? Or starting Zach Wilson. So if you don't even investigate the Ravens, well, then you are going to give the Packers whatever they want. Right?
Exactly. That's why I don't think it just, unless you're just showing all your cards, right? Like, hey, listen, we don't want anybody else. This is our guy. Or maybe he's being told by his ownership, there is nobody else. I don't want Lamar Jackson. I only want Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think it's bad faith to kick the tires on other teams with the idea of trying to create leverage. I think teams would understand that. You're telling me that time somebody calls about a player's availability, it's because they want the player, or that maybe they're trying to get leverage or trying to scare somebody that's becoming a free agent at the end of the year. I mean, I would think that happens all the time in sports.
Let's go to Lewis in the car. Lewis.
Hey, guys. Peter, Don, Mike, what's going on?
Lewis.
I just want to say a couple of things, and then, Don, I want to ask you a question at the end.
Yes.
We just started talking about the Knicks at first. I'm with Peter. Everybody's getting on Julius Randle. He's the one scoring all the points. Okay, granted, he has his mistakes at the end, but he scores. R.J. Barrett is a guy that's not producing, but nobody's saying anything about him. The other thing I wanted to say, because you guys were just talking about the Jets, I don't understand why they're not going after Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson has a higher ceiling than Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, granted, Aaron Rodgers, but Lamar Jackson's a former MVP too. And you can actually go longer with Lamar Jackson. So that's good. But the thing I wanted to ask you, Don, was the other morning, I wasn't even going to work. I was listening, and the morning show said that somebody paid for vote. How do they know that 1,000 people didn't come in and vote for you? How do they just know that?
I think they know the algorithm of there's no way that there could be 1,000 votes to zero over a certain period of time when the entire morning it was going back and forth. It was very close. I think at the time, Michael, it might have been like 58-42 in favor of Dave, which is, somewhat close. At least there's kind of back and forth a little bit. Then all of a sudden, 1,000 votes comes out of nowhere. No, there was impropriety. I don't know why anybody would pay for votes. The only one motivated to do it, I guess, would be me. But believe me, I got zero motivation. I didn't even know what was happening at the time.
You know who else would have motivation? Rick, because Rick could be a saboteur.
But
he's known to be.
But here's the thing. Ha ha, that'd be funny, make Dave look bad. A lot of effort goes into their host sadness every year.
Well, what is the effort, Don? Tell me, take me through.
You don't think RJ puts a lot of effort in? They promote it all the time.
I mean,
Ray puts in an effort, and then you're just each year just going to completely make it seem irrelevant by there being fugazi votes being bought. I mean, why would he sabotage a segment of their show?
That's a good point by you.
Well, just for discussion, just to rile up Dave. I'm just saying.
No, he's not that kind of person. To sabotage his own show, to have a couple of laughs at his co-host expense.
I think I could see that.
I think it's a fireable offense.
Big matchups this weekend in the Final Four. Michael versus Dave, even though I still think that Dave win is suspect. And Rick versus me.
You could say it's sexier than the actual Final Four.
It's a great point. Now, hey, I'm in trouble, though, against Rick.
And I'm in trouble against Dave.
Yeah, we're going to actually, you know, listen, I'm not going to go out there and go campaigning on the day of. But I will.
Don't you think the Carmy should step up?
Boy, well, I will say this for both of us. We're not going to go online and beg for votes, but our people should keep an eye on this and support us because they do it during their show.
If you really,
wouldn't it be amazing if we got a Michael Peter final?
It would
that
be.
That would be something.
But listen, let's be honest, guys. The whole thing's fugazi.
Go ahead.
Because they shut voting down at the end of their show.
Right.
So they're only getting people that listen to the morning show to vote. I happen to know our audience sleeps in.
Yeah, I think that's a safe.
So that's a disadvantage. Why don't you have it going through the whole day?
And I sleep right till noon.
Although, they only want their listeners to vote, so it's rigged to begin with. Right. If you want it, open it up, Michael. Open it up all day.
Well, our listeners are in the arms of Morpheus during that show.
That's right.
Because so they're out partying, watching late games.
My question is, this is what, year three they've done it? I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm curious to what the final matchup has been the last couple of years. Like right now it's paced to be Rick and Dave. Is it always Rick and Dave?
Last year, I'm pretty sure it was Michael and Don won. I also think this is the second year of this host segment.
Can you do some research on all of this?
The Carmy does have to step up because I think the Carmy at its core, much more potent than the other place, which, you know.
We don't mention it anymore.
Don said we can't mention it.
Yeah.
We're sick. I don't even know what you're talking about.
We're sick.
But the Carmy, the people that listen to this show, they love sports. They live for it. It's their air. They don't go to bed until the last game's over.
That's right.
All right? Also, very dateable, a K listener.
Is that true?
Yeah, very, very dateable. And so they're going out. They're out and about.
Michael, they're not going to sleep until they've read the three stars at the end of the Canucks game.
Right.
That's it. I mean, they're up until the end.
They live on the credo of sleep right till noon.
And that's your credo.
And that's 2 hours past their show. They didn't have the guts. Let's be honest. We love them. We love the whole concept. They didn't have the stones to have the vote go 24 hours because they know we would wipe the floor with them.
So, but when does the voting start? The beginning of their show, so it's just four-hour voting?
That's from what I understand. I know it shuts down at 10, so I guess it has to start
at 6. Although last year, I was eliminated by Don, and Michael beat Don in the final. So our show did still do quite well. Yeah.
How could I have beaten Don? That doesn't make sense.
You also beat Rick.
And you beat Rick. So,
well, Rick and I are the same, so it's like he won too.
You're so weird, man.
It's so weird.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but Ricky Gervais.
Oh, I love him.
Who looks just like our program director, Ryan Hurley.
Just like is a bit much, right? I think they're similar. They have a similar thing.
Yeah,
so you're
going to
jump me on similar, right? That's what you're going to. That's the hill.
I'm just saying it's not. They're not. Go ahead.
I wouldn't be able to tell them apart if they were standing next to
him. Really?
As
someone who loves Ricky Gervais, always has, and someone who loves Ryan Hurley, always has, I would tell the difference very easily.
Yes. Well, you have told me many times off the air you're not a big fan of Hurley.
No, love Hurley individually. When he pairs up with Winthrop and they become Ron Pinhead is when I don't enjoy it.
No, I'm with you.
That's it. That's just a work thing.
All right, so Ricky Gervais is performing at the Beacon Theater on Monday, May 1st.
At the Beacon,
you said?
ESPN
New York has your chance to score tickets all week during the Michael K. Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. If you can't get tickets to that Ricky Gervais show, Ryan Hurley is going to tell jokes at the Beach Bash.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's like a Ricky Gervais Fergazi thing.
As good as the Golden Globes a few years ago? Like that level?
I think so, yeah. Let's go to Blair in Troy, New York. Blair.
How's Tootie, by the way?
I was going to Blair Witch.
Yeah, guys, you know, I call in every year about Randall, and, you know, Peter's always been a defender of him, and I can understand why, but I think the Knicks have to make a decision as to what leadership is, because when you hear Pinson and Bullock talk about, everybody was accountable on the team for defense but Randall. When you count the number of meltdowns that Randall has versus his game-winning moments, that's why this Miami thing stood out. You know, if you're going to be so tense in tight situations, but you're good in only three quarters of the game, how can you be a leader? How can you build around that? I don't understand it. I think the Knicks have to look at the options. There are quite a few people they could trade for or even obtain that can fill Randall's role, because I'm concerned about the nucleus, the young nucleus. When IQ is showing more leadership and containment than Randall, and IQ is up for an extension and he's weighing his options, how is that good for the future of the team? And Tibbs should be called to the carpet, because if there is a double standard with Randall, then how in the world is that good for our young team?
Well, I think that the young guys pretty much have a pretty good head on their shoulders, and they're probably, you know, following Brunson. And I've said it before, the points he scores in the first 46 minutes of the game, they're not unimportant. It's putting them in position to win. What really struck me, and I think it struck the guys as well, is when Jeff Van Gundy kind of cast dispersion on the fact that the guy is not good in clutch situations, and he melts down. And I will say what I said the other day. When the Knicks win a championship, whenever that may be, Julius Randle's not going to be on the team. He's just not. Because he's not the guy who's going to be the number one guy. And by the time they get to that level where they get the number one guy, he's probably going to be starting to get old. So I don't think he's going to be on the team.
I mean, I'll say that here's the one reason I'll disagree with you. If it were to happen soon that they could somehow get that guy,
right,
I don't think Randall seems like the kind of dude who couldn't accept having his role reduced.
Well, he did. He has accepted it with Jalen.
Right.
Brunson.
So I think he'd be fine. I mean, in that sense, I think it could work. But I also understand what you're saying, that it's likely that either he'd be part of a package to bring in that guy, or it would just be too far down the line and he's already fading.
And also, once again, guys, the Knicks didn't make him available during practice yesterday. So he has not yet spoken.
Like, no, he did. He did.
Forget about it.
He has now spoken.
He has spoken at the
He spoke today.
The walkthrough today. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, why not yesterday? Did they had to come up with a plan?
I don't know. Here's the little thing he said.
I mean, what happens within our team is, you know, what happens within our team. So I'm not going to speak on specifics of how we handle things. But
he said, what happens with our team, within our team, happens within our team. I'm not going to speak on specifics.
So. But it wasn't within the team. It was on the court in front of everybody.
Correct. This was about what happened reportedly at halftime, but it's still part of the same conversation.
So if he's not saying that, then something did happen.
Yeah.
Somebody got aired out. That's all there is to it.
It's not exactly what you want.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So you remember Alex Lee.
Who could forget?
She was loved great. I loved her. She did a great job on the show doing traffic. She actually talked with us and answered us back. So she does a show every day from 10 to 11 with Marisol Castro on WPIX, and she asked me to be a guest.
Oh, uh-huh. That hurts.
And I said, sure. And she said, okay, you have to come to our studios at 42nd and 2nd. And I said,
I can't do it.
I love you, Alex, but you're not getting me into the city at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to be at our studios until 2:15. Why would I do that?
You're right, exactly.
So I asked, I said, can I do it on Zoom? And she said, yeah, sure. Am I a bad guy because I wouldn't go in?
No, not that. You could almost make the case that her ask was a complete Hail Mary. You got to come up with a better play than that. Come on.
In fact, I jokingly said, ouch, or whatever I said when she invited you.
Right.
She really should have went in the other order, though.
Yeah.
If you were the big fish, she should have.
I haven't picked that one.
She should. I didn't catch that. She should have said me or Don. Because, and now, granted, 10 a.m. 42nd Street would be tough. Did she agree to a Zoom situation?
Yeah, I'm going to be on Zoom.
There you go.
But I felt guilty because she's such a nice woman, and she's great.
And she showed up to all our events.
Yeah, and I was not showing up 40 seconds.
And now we can't get someone to even say, my life is on the line, would you save me? And she just says, thanks, guys.
Right, in a Squid Game situation.
You heard that, right? That's
tough. Of course, I listened to everything.
Yeah.
She called your bluff.
Well, ESPN New York, along with our partner London Jewelers, giving you the chance to be in Cleveland when the boys from the Bronx come to town, including round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, and $200 in spending money. Head to a London Jewelers near you to enter for your chance to win. You can also go to travelwiththehometeam.com or enter on the ESPN New York app. It's all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com.
Now, right. I'm sorry, Michael.
Because
I wanted an honor of tease we never got to.
Which is?
That I had a 6-sport afternoon with Marco yesterday.
6 sports?
6.
And they were?
Are you ready for this?
Here we go.
Now, his first baseball game is Saturday at 8 a.m. So Nancy's like, listen, you're going to be going away and you got Ranger games. Work with him Sunday, which I didn't even have to. I'm hitting line drives. He's catching them. He's got a gun for an arm. It's really incredible how he really has some skills playing baseball. Done with baseball. Dad, can we play hockey? Now, I've got a net that's already up in the backyard.
Of course.
So he gets out the sticks. We're playing some hockey. Plays hockey. Daddy, let's play soccer. So we get the soccer ball, same net, play soccer. He had dragged out this little basketball net that he has, so he wanted to play a little basketball.
Shoot some hoops, if you will.
Shooting some hoops. Do that. Then I'm like, all right. And, you know, I'm done. I'm ready, almost in the fetal position at this point. He goes to the play box for outside, pulls out a football. He wants me to kick the ball to him. He can catch it so he can run for touchdown. I got to chase him down, try to tackle him, which – no surprise, he scored a touchdown on every kick return. He's that good, and I'm also that slow. And then get this, Daddy, volleyball. Now
wow.
It didn't go well. We didn't have a net, and there wasn't much volleying because every time I hit it to him, he'd hit it over my head or something else. But volleyball.
He was interested in volleyball.
Now there would have been a 7th, but he didn't come up with the idea till later on because I was flipping around the TV last week and caught the end of dodgeball. Now he wants to play dodgeball.
Wait, he hasn't.
Which
played
is not politically correct.
I guess he's little. He hasn't played dodgeball yet.
They might even have outlawed it in schools now. I have no idea.
Doesn't sound like it's politically correct.
But
Why not? Because
hit a kid in the head with a ball
and then eliminate them. It's really not where we're trending with our youth.
Of
shaming them into, you know, you have to exit the field after you get hit in the face with a ball.
No, if you hit a face, the person who threw it is out. God, are you guys ignorant? I mean,
that's not the way we played it.
Yeah, that's what happened to Saquon Barkley in the
and the
Pro Bowl.
So he was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, guys, when I worked at ASAD.
No, he got hit in the face. So
the other person
was
got
out. Yeah.
When I worked at ASAD after school care, All Saints All Day, we played a lot of dodgeball. And there are some rules in place. I believe dodgeball will live on.
I think it's dead as a doornail.
No way.
Michael, your kid's playing it?
They play a form of dodgeball. I forget what it's called, but it's that the kids don't get hit with the ball. But I think it could live on as a professional sport, Don.
You mean like the movie Dodgeball?
Yeah,
the Ocho.
Absolutely.
Talking about the Ocho now.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.